Welcome to the In Happier News podcast. This is a podcast for people who believe there is too much negativity in the media and would rather be uplifted by hearing about the good in the world and happier news instead. Each week, you can listen to a roundup of inspiring news stories in 10 minutes or less to elevate your mood. Plus, we have episodes like this one with inspirational people sharing their journeys, tips, and tricks. I'm your host, Deanne Goodman. Let's get started. Hey everyone, episode 27 is all about the topic of self-love. And my guest today is Joy Chang, the self-love transformational queen. Growing up, she endured many trials and tribulations, including her parents' messy divorce, two near-death experiences, bouts with depression, finding herself in an emotionally abusive relationship, and experiencing the death of her mother at age 27 and her father at age 31. However, it was through these experiences that she cultivated the empowerment tools of energy healing and life coaching and redesigned her life from the ground up. Joy believes when we share our stories, we heal ourselves and we heal the world. Welcome, Joy Chen, and thank you so much for being on the In Happier News podcast. You shared your personal journey of healing yourself naturally from deep depression and suicidal thoughts through self-love in your book, The Naked Truth, A Woman's Journey to Self-Love. So can you start by just telling us more about how self-love has actually saved your life?
Without going into too much detail, when I was in my 20s, I went through a really dark period in my life. I was really depressed and I even had suicidal thoughts. And, you know, at the time, it was not only a sad time, but it was actually a very confusing time because I didn't understand why I was feeling that way. There was nothing that was going on in my life that would make it seem like I should feel that way. You know, I hadn't gone through like a terrible breakup or lost someone close to me. My life was actually good at the time. But I just had this feeling like it was, you know, this emptiness, like something was missing. So then I basically ended up in an abusive relationship. And that was actually the greatest gift in my life because it really gave me the awareness that I didn't love myself. I didn't have that awareness until that point. And once I was in that relationship, I started thinking, well, you know, I must not love myself because if I did, I wouldn't be in this relationship and I wouldn't be continuously in this relationship, you know? So I was in the relationship on and off for 4.5 years. And so it just, you know, I started reflecting on that. And then I was introduced to a type of energy healing called Matrix Energetics, which I do with my clients sometimes. And it just started opening me up to seeing the world in a different way. And that really gave me the courage to finally end that relationship, to realize that I needed to, you know, leave that relationship and start learning to love myself. And so I made the decision to end that relationship and, you know, for good and to just learn how to love myself. And then the universe started bringing opportunities into my life to support me with that decision.
That's great. And when you said you learned how to love yourself, what were some of the things you learned how to do?
There's, you know, several things that I, the universe brought to me. One of the first things that really helped support me was, you know, basically this practice where I started looking at these beliefs that I had and how they were limiting me and my happiness. So for example, I had a belief that if I just got married, I'd be happier, you know, and I also had a belief that if I was single, I'd be miserable. So I just started to question those beliefs and I asked myself, you know, how do I know that getting married is going to make me happier? I mean, there's a 50% divorce rate in our country, right? So just because you're married doesn't mean you're happy. There's probably a lot of people that are married that are not happy. And then I also asked myself, you know, how do I know that being single is going to make me miserable? What if being single was the best thing that I ever did? So I had this fear of, you know, being single. I just went from like one long-term relationship to another, you know, that goes back to my childhood and like this, you know, abandonment stuff that I had experienced with my dad and that I didn't even realize until I got into, you know, romantic relationships. But so I had this fear of being like alone and being single. And when I just, you know, flipped the questions, it just shifted the energy and it just gave me hope and like the possibility, you know, for something different. Right. So that's a really powerful practice. And what I love about it is that you don't even have to know the answer to the question just by asking the question. It creates space for possibility.
Okay, that's a good tip. Any other things you used to learn to love yourself?
Another thing that really helped support me was a gratitude practice. So I found a Facebook group called What Am I Grateful For Today? And every day I would write in my journal and I would post in the group something that I was grateful for. And I know that it's something that we hear, you know, a lot, but it really is powerful because especially, you know, when you're in a depressed state, like a lot of times we're focusing on what we don't have in our lives rather than what we do have, right? And so recognizing that when we can take that time to just focus on what we're grateful for, that we really have more to be grateful for then, right? The universe will give us more to be grateful for. And, you know, we have so much to be grateful for. I mean, even just the basics of having food and shelter and clothes, like things that we take for granted that a lot of other people don't have, right? So just to know that no matter what's going on in our lives, that we always have something to be grateful for.
Absolutely. So we hear a lot about self-care, and I feel like it ties into self-love, but do you think there's a difference between the two of them?
There's definitely a difference. I mean, I think that self-care is an expression of self-love. It is an important piece, you know, being able to take care of ourselves, you know, physically and emotionally, spiritually, you know, mentally, those are all important. But it is just a piece of it, right? So like going to yoga or getting massages, you know, eating healthy, those are important things to do. And I would say that if we're not taking care of ourselves, and then we're not really loving ourselves. But also there's the way that we talk to ourselves, right? So it's both internal and external.
When did you first learn about self-love? Was it when you had hit that low, low point, or had you known about it before?
I had no idea that I didn't really love myself until I was in the abusive relationship. So, and you know, the interesting thing is with depression is that I heard someone once say that depression is anger turned inwards. So people might think, you might think that, you know, when you're depressed, you're sad, right? And that you should just be happy, right? But in my experience, that didn't help me. And I think it's because when you're depressed, you're actually angry at yourself. And that's why through loving myself, I was able to heal from that depression. You know, I wasn't even focusing on the depression and trying not to be depressed, but just by focusing on loving myself, eventually I realized that I wasn't depressed anymore. And so one of the things that helped me too is my spirituality, my faith, and understanding that, you know, I believe that we are just fields of energy and that we're not our thoughts, that a lot of our thoughts that we have that are negative are not the truth of who we are, right? It's stuff that's we've been conditioned to believe through culture, through family experiences, you know, whatever, but it's not who we truly are.
Yeah, that's good. And that ties right into my next question, which is how self-love and positivity are related. Do you see a relationship there?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, obviously, like, you know, part of being loving yourself is to focus on the positive, but also be able to love like the shadow aspects of ourselves, you know? So I believe that in order to really love ourselves, it's not about just saying, like, focusing on the good, you know, the quote unquote good aspects of us, but really the parts that we don't want people to know, right? And that, you know, start with what you can love about yourself that's easy to love about yourself right now, because there are things that we can love about ourselves now, right? So maybe it's some physical things, maybe it's your eyes, maybe it's your hair, or some personality traits. But there are things that are already, that you already love about yourself. So you start with those things. And then eventually the goal is to get to a place where you can love all of you, because, you know, we are unique, right? And to understand that who we are, I mean, we're made the way that we are for a reason, you know? So just to embrace all of who we are, because the world would be really boring if we were all the same. I mean, that's also what leads us to connection, right? Like when I, you know, I thought one time, like, why do we want to be vulnerable? Because, you know, it doesn't feel good in the moment usually to be vulnerable. So why be vulnerable, right? But then I realized that I think that vulnerability leads to connection, and that's what we really all long for is connection.
So what are some of your tips and tricks to staying positive during tough times?
Well, like I said, gratitude is definitely one of them. Another thing that I always ask myself when I'm in a really hard, challenging situation is, what's the gift in this? Because I do believe that there is always a gift, and that we just have to, you know, look for the gift, right? And so sometimes that question, when I ask the question, I don't get an answer right away. So, you know, if you are in a situation and you're having a hard time with it, to ask the question, to know that, you know, the answer might not come to you right away, but just by asking the question, eventually you'll get the answer. So yeah, that's something that has really helped me, you know, in my life through my challenging times, is just to, you know, say, what's the gift in this?
What does positivity mean to you?
So I would say that it's not just about being positive, like happy all the time, that it's recognizing, it's being able to see, the gifts in everything that we're going through, right? And to be able to be happy in whatever situation you're in. You know, I was actually able to be happy when my dad was, you know, when he had cancer, and in a really hard situation, and being there, I was so grateful to be able to be there for him, to take care of him. But it was definitely not easy to see someone you love in so much pain, but to decide to like focus on what was going on that was good in my life, what was positive, and the gratitude. And I was actually able to get to a place of being happy. You know, it's something that I would never have thought, like, how could I be happy in a situation like that. And yet I was able to do that because I made the choice to focus on the good.
How long ago was that?
That was in 2014, so almost 5 years ago. So I remember just saying to the universe, okay, what's the gift in this? Because I know there's a gift here, you know.
And did it take a while to hear that answer?
Yeah, I definitely don't think I got the answer right away because basically my stepmom was taking care of him. And then she ended up killing herself. We're not sure if it was on purpose or an accident. There's kind of different, stories depending on who you talk to. But either way, she was supposed to be there to like take care of him. And then she wasn't able to be there. So the gift was for me to be able to be there because I was a total daddy's girl, always really close to my dad. And, you know, I know my dad wanted me to be there for him. And there were some things that, you know, had gone on between my stepmom and I that really had nothing to do with me, that was kind of just projected onto me, that, you know, she basically was like jealous of my relationship with my dad, of our relationship, and had a hard time with it when I was around. So I chose to not be around when she was there to take care of him, which was really hard because, like I said, I was so close to him. And so he was sick for like almost a year and a half before I went to take care of him. And it was such a gift for us to be able to be together at the end of his life, for both of us, because I know that he really wanted me there and I really wanted to be there too. So that was definitely a huge gift in the whole thing.
Was your dad able to see a gift in his cancer? Like, did you ever talk to him about that?
That's a good question. And I honestly don't think we had that conversation. Like, I didn't ask him directly what he thought the gift was, but I do know that he appreciated me being there, mm-hmm. you know, at the end and having me there.
Exactly. It was more of a question for yourself than really to ask of others. So what are you're working on so many things. What's like the big thing in your life right now? What's your big focus?
So the thing that I'm focusing on now is writing destination writing retreats. So I have, you know, several clients that I'm working on helping them with their book and sharing their story and publishing their book. But something that I've been wanting to do for a really long time is holding retreats and just basically taking everything, because I've done, you know, gone through so many trainings and I have so many skills, and to be able to take it and put it all together, you know, because I think that everything that we have done is for a reason. Like, nothing is by accident. And sometimes we can't see everything, like you can't connect the dots, you know, or you can only connect the dots going backwards, right? So being able to look back and say, okay, now I see why all of these things happened, right? So being able to take like my healing work that I do, and I've led meditations and circles and like all this stuff that I've done, and yoga, I've gone through yoga training. So just being able to take it all and then bring it together. And so that's really the next thing that I'm working on right now that I'm really excited, is to hold these destination writing retreats so that I can bring people together that want to share their story with the world, and do it in a beautiful place, you know, in a group setting where we're all inspired to, you know, be creative together. And it would be a combination of work and play, you know, definitely not all just work and writing, but lots of time to get a massage, to do yoga, to dance, to meditate, be in nature, you know, and just really connect to our, you know, inner truth.
That sounds awesome. When will you have more information about that?
So it'll be on my website. But yeah, my goal is to do like 3 to 4 a year, and then just be able to basically take my whole list of, you know, places that I've always wanted to go and have people come with me and get our books done and our stories out in the world.
That sounds good. What would be some of your dream destinations?
Greek islands, New Zealand, Fiji. They're mostly warm places. There are some cold places on my list, Antarctica, Alaska, Iceland.
Nice. And you also have a podcast. Can you tell us a little bit about your podcast?
Sure. Yeah. My podcast is called The Naked Truth Movement. And basically my intention with the podcast is to really share people's stories and to let people know that, you know, no matter what kind of success we've achieved in our life, you know, that whatever's going on in our life, that we all have challenges, right? And that we've all gone through challenges, and we all still have challenges. So that's the main part of it, so that people know that you're not alone in your struggles. That's a big thing for me, is to let people know that, because I know I've been there and I felt that way. Basically, I interview people that have inspiring stories, that are willing to be vulnerable. So we have, you know, people from all different backgrounds, a lot of entrepreneurs, and just that have, you know, we talk about, you know, money, or we talk about health or love or anything really, you know, we just get vulnerable about it. And yeah.
That's awesome. And just going back to self-love, anything else you want to tell people that are listening?
I would say, I mean, honestly, self-love is something that I think we're not taught how to love ourselves. You know, most of us aren't taught that. And I know that for me, I didn't have a lot of, like, my mom wasn't very verbally or physically affectionate with us. So she didn't tell us she loved us. She didn't kiss us or hug us a lot. You know, I knew that she loved us, but I think that that's so important. You know, to know that even if you weren't raised in that kind of environment, that, you know, we can always decide to learn how to love ourselves. You know, our relationship with ourselves is the only relationship that we're going to have for the rest of our lives, right? Because eventually the people in our lives are going to pass away. And so the only person that you really are going to have forever is yourself. And so I think it's so important for us to make ourselves a priority. And I know that, you know, when you have kids and when you have, you know, spouses and jobs and all these other things in our life, that it can be so easy to forget about ourselves. You know, you do have to make yourself a priority, that no one else is going to do it for you. You don't have to spend hours, you know, loving yourself every day, but just to spend a few minutes, you know, in the morning and, you know, tell yourself something you love about yourself, or, you know, find something you're grateful for. It's so easy to just have those little moments, you know, even, you know, going outside for like 5 minutes, right? And just enjoying some time in nature. So there's just ways that we can, you know, do that in our day, and to know that that's going to make such a difference for you.
Absolutely. I love that. Especially telling yourself all those things that maybe you weren't told growing up. What about, though, if you weren't given as many hugs, how do you give yourself the hugs that you need?
Well, I mean, you can literally hug yourself, right? it may not feel the same as having someone else to hug you, obviously, but you could definitely hug yourself. I mean, they say that I think it's like 8 to 10 hugs that we need a day, and most of us don't get that. So, I mean, obviously, if you have someone in your life that you can, you know, hug and get hugs from, then definitely encourage you to, you know, to use that. But I mean, if you're feeling courageous, like, you know, give hugs to strangers, right? And the great thing about a hug is that you can't give a hug without receiving a hug.
That's
true. I love that, like, when you offer to give somebody a hug, you know, by you giving, you're going to receive as well.
That's beautiful. I love that. I think that is a perfect place to end. So where can everyone connect with you?
So the best way is to go to my website, which is joychang.com. And you can also find me. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, under Joy Chang, and that's JoieChEng.
Thank you so much, Joy, for being on. And I love all the tips you have. I think every single one of us can benefit from that. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks again for having me on your show, Deanne. It's been a pleasure.
Feel free to connect at inhappiernews.com. And don't forget to put a nice rating and review, because that helps others find this podcast. Thank you so much for helping spread positivity, and you'll get a whole new dose of it next week.